Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is a mess. Come on in. Welcome to Fly on the Wildin' Podcast. We talk about dating. We talk about influencing. I'm your neighborhood friendly black girl, Amber. And today I am so excited to introduce y'all to an old Chicago comedy friend of mine. He's a writer. He's an actor. He's a comedian. And he's Twitter's favorite pigeon. Please welcome Vinny Thomas.
Hi, Amber. And hello, everyone. You're so brave for coming today.
The listeners, they're brave for turning on the episode. For sure.
You know, you got to kind of gas people up, you know?
People like a little confidence for, like, just the simplest things. Like, when Ben's walking around the house, I'm always just like, look how you poured that glass of water.
What a big boy.
That's a star. Speaking of the big boy, Ben is not here today. He is at home with a hacking cough. And I was like, no, no, no. And he's like, ah, Benny's coming today. We should probably cancel. Oh, you think you're not replaceable?
Oh, no.
You think that we're going to cancel the show?
No, absolutely not.
Because you're sick.
Yeah.
Should That's I not be how Ben? This works. You could. what does your Ben look like?
This is my Ben. I was reading a novel.
About pussy.
I was reading a novel about pussy. And I hated it. And he gets mad. I don't know if that's good or not.
We love you. I hope you see this episode as your, I think he had the flu and then he took two COVID tests. I'm fit as a fiddle. So
yeah, I was going to say that when you walked in here, I was like, she looks like a fiddle.
Like a cello. I give like cello energy.
Really?
I think so. You're like a viola, you know?
Oh yeah. High pitched. Small.
Vinny.
Yeah.
We have to talk.
Okay.
Before we get into any segments, you've lived here for a while.
Yeah,
and a half. Because we knew each other in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the first time we saw each other.
By the way, yeah.
Yes.
The first time we saw each other was outside of an audition for a fellowship at the Second City. And Amber was dressed beautifully, like a waitress at the Moulin Rouge.
Yes, sequin garb.
Resplendent. Gorgeous earrings, you know, everyone else, including me, is like schlubby. I'm in my shirt from JCPenney's or whatever, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, she's a star. She's taking this seriously. And of course, Amber got it. And I was like, of course she got it. She's like an actress. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's there.
Capital A
actress. She's there to win. She's there to play the game.
I am there to play the game. Okay, so this audition is like the one diversity fellowship in the entire city at Second City Chicago. And when I say diversity, I mean like black people, people of color.
Yeah.
If you are just white and a little gay, you are at this diversity fellowship.
And emphasis on little. Do you know what I mean? If you're one of the gay people who it's like, there's no way to know.
Yes, you were still showing up to this audition.
You're showing up there.
So it's like 300 plus people at this audition and they only take like 20 people. And one part of the audition is you have to do a 1 minute performance of your comedy. So I guess like stand up would be crazy hard to do, you know. So I want to ask you what your 1 minute monologue was. Because how many times did you audition for it?
Oh, brother.
I think that was my third year. That was my second or third year.
I think I did it 3 times.
Okay.
I cannot for the life of me. I did like a bit where I was like this girl who had been to Paris.
Oh, so you wrote Emily in Paris, period.
It's good. Yeah, before it happened.
Beforehand.
And I was just like, take me back to Paris. And I like talked about how much I wanted to like fuck a croissant and like I thought it was a very good, like, every time I did that character bit it killed, but in the room the energy is so different, so
they
I do
are
it
not
and
even
like,
trying to laugh
no and I was like, this
let's
is
be
eating.
Clear, this is all white people who are judging the diversity fellowship.
Yeah, yeah,
so you get in there and you're like, okay, I got these good Maya Angelou jokes, this will kill.
Yep.
And then you get in there and it's just like old raisins of white people.
We love a golden raisin.
Let me tell you why I was dressed up.
Yeah. Please.
So, as Vinny noted, I was in this sequin gown.
Beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful
gown. So good in red. And she knows it, mind you.
Thank you, thank you. I was presenting like the Oscars, but it was from hell. So it was like the 76 National Hell Awards. Yeah. And I gave it to,
Candace
Owens. I gave it to, right, no, you know what I did? Or I was like, thank you from our sponsors at Amazon. You know, just like naming, you know, people who have mined the earth. And then I named women, like historical women, okay, for example, Sylvia Plath was a person. She's like a writer, but she killed herself. So
classic.
Of course, because she committed suicide, she's in hell.
Yeah.
And the way that she died was that she like put her head in the oven and just turned the gas up. I think like that's how she killed herself.
Well, at least she went out doing what she loved.
Doing what she loved. So I was like, to Sylvia, who put a whole new meaning to the phrase being baked at 420. Like, it was like a whole thing.
See, that's like capital S satire. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Yeah. And I think it was, but I looked crazy when everybody else showed up in jeans. I was like, where are the costumes? Why are we doing
Where's
anything?
The spectacle?
Did you wear a beret when you did the French thing?
No. I was literally, I was just in my little, I think, sweater vest and
you brought a croissant,
button up.
Of course.
It's very Second City has this thing about needing to dress business casual for their
yes,
shows.
They do. They do.
And
boring.
Yes.
Everything's black or like a darker color.
Yeah. So, you know,
wake it up
I
a
did
little
that.
Bit.
But it's one of those things I look back things. On now and it's like I spent a lot of time trying to get that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And now, you know, with some distance, you're like, oh, okay, maybe you didn't necessarily need to do that. But it's always like in the moment, you're like, this is the thing I need to get.
This is
the
thing.
And let this be a lesson to all of you about fixating. always diversify your things.
Your palette. It's so interesting because in being comedians and doing what we do, you are told what you should aspire to.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, you audition for SNL, you go into JFL, like it's sort of a very clear, like CBS showcase, very clear path sometimes about what you should aspire to or whatever. And then sometimes you aspire to things and then they disappear. Like for a long time, I was like a black lady sketch show. That is when I know I will make it a black lady sketch show. And it got canceled after like five seasons. So it's like, well, let me just do what the fuck I want to do then. Because
exactly,
like,
yeah.
And it could come back and it could be revived, but it's hard in our business to aspire to something like and you're like, I want to be on this Second City stage so bad. And the pandemic hits and I got laid off like 2 days into the pandemic. And I was like, I guess I'll make some TikToks.
Oh, yeah.
And wouldn't you know, that worked better than stage.
When I tell you that so many people's stories, like who started out in Chicago, you know, during the pandemic, it's like all of a sudden we feel forced to post things online, you know, just to get our stuff out there and mostly for each other, to be quite honest with you.
Right.
And then we do that. And all of a sudden a bunch of us start popping off all over the place because it's like, oh, all of a sudden we're not in this funnel where we're like, this is the one thing we need to do.
Yes.
And, you know,
it's like Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD. If you're not aspiring to any of those,
if you're not
what are you
a corpse,
doing in Chicago?
If you're not a corpse on one of the Chicago shows, you know, you're not going to make it. You know what I mean?
Oh, I was always at that like bisexual bartender number 4 audition.
and then you move out
I'm here with my septum ring, girls.
I don't know. And then you move out here and you're like, oh, yes. That stuff didn't really matter very much, you know?
It didn't.
It, you know, you learn, obviously. I don't want to like discard it as an experience as a whole. But once you move out here, you're like, oh, okay. I could have been doing other stuff, you know?
And it was such a small competitive community a little bit.
Needlessly so.
Needlessly so.
Absolutely needlessly so. It feels less competitive in Los Angeles.
It does, doesn't it?
And
or you get
no
here, you're like, oh,
that.
Wait, I'm kind of a star.
Well, yeah.
Like, have you ever been to something here in LA? I remember like my first weekend in LA, I was like, let me go to this show and see all these performers. I'm not dragging LA, but I remember thinking to myself, like, this is LA. People are probably going to be so funny and such great dancers and whatever. And I went to the show that was like basically like a talent show. Like there was like a rapper and a singer and then there was one comedian and the first three people, and there's a lineup of six. Mm-hmm. The first three people were just so
and was
bad.
Was everyone at this elementary school mad when you walked up? Or was it okay?
Exactly. I remember thinking like, I just moved across the country for this low energy, like didn't rehearse the 8 count, horrible wig ass bullshit. I'm going to make it here. Like it feels like that sometimes.
Well, it's just, for me, it's like, a lot of, now that so many people from Chicago are out here, a lot of what people were doing in Chicago were doing out here now, but it's also like there's more opportunity out here in general, right? So it straight up feels less competitive because it feels like there's more pie to go around, you know?
Yes.
It's not all gonna disappear.
It was three spots in Chicago.
Three,
like,
yeah.
I would literally go to a casting call in Chicago that called for, like, African-American woman, and I would see an Asian girl in the audition room, and I'm like, what is happening?
She's trying her best is what's
she's
happening.
She's trying her best.
And she deserves it because she's fighting
for it. I was like,
it.
The audacity. I was like, why have I just been going to black girl auditions? I, too, should come to the white woman's
event. She opens her mouth. She sounds exactly like Viola Davis. She's just like, you're getting the part. It's yours.
She got it, too. I'm just kidding. Okay. We love Chicago, but goodbye, Chicago. The first segment of our show is called Hashtag Influence. Vinny is big in them Twitter/X streets. So, Vinny, I want, first things first.
Yeah.
Explain Twitter to me. I've never been a tweeter, a twiddle girl.
No.
But there's some magic there. And then people be watching porn. I don't understand why niggas be on Twitter. Like, help me out.
First of all, let me explain that you are delightful. And you're a delightful person. You're a beam of light. Just the way you laughed. It was Joe. It's giving Sprite. You know what I mean?
Like, if I was a drink, it would be Sprite.
It would be Sprite.
You know, they did market to the hip hop, the urban feel.
I go back and I watch the Mary J. Blige McDonald's. Chicken tortilla wrap. it was a commercial for the chicken tortilla wrap. And she was like, fresh chicken, three cheeses, fresh lettuce on a tortilla. I go back and watch that all the time. And I'm like, why did she do that? You know, she hated doing that.
Oh, I hate it.
She must
She's
have.
Like, this is my, like, like what influencers do. Influencers are to brand deals as Mary J. Blige is to a chicken wrap McDonald's commercial. It's this is, I'm not an artist. This is stupid.
But anyway, I digress. What were we talking about?
Before Twitter.
Chicken wraps. Twitter.
Because
Twitter.
I'm a big, I love.
Yeah.
If I had to rate my favorite app, it would be Instagram.
Yeah, I bet.
I feel like you can do polls, you can do questions, you can interact with people more. Mm-hmm. The 24-hour story is very user-friendly. Yeah. You can post, you can not post, you can tag. TikTok's great, high visibility. Are there a line of trolls just waiting for you to post so they can say something? Sure. But with that comes high visibility. I'm not understanding, for me, where Twitter would have sparked my interest. Like, even, like, years ago, I was not a big Twitter girl.
Twitter, for me, is very, very joke, and commentary. And it's very, like, zeitgeisty. Whatever happened, it would kind of happen on Twitter first, and then it would bleed out to the other platforms.
Okay.
It's different now, you know? Now it's X, and it's kind of gross, and even I don't really post videos on there very much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But at its peak... Baby, at its peak, Twitter was like, you know, it was just everybody, you know, something would happen and then everyone would riff on it, right? And it's everyone making these fun little quotes and dunks and, you know, there's always a person of the week. I don't know if you, were you there for Bean Dad?
Yes, I remember that.
Bean Dad was one of the most fascinating people of the
week.
Yes. Because he was like, I'm going to make my daughter open a can of beans on her own. And everyone was like, you're going to hell.
Yes.
And it was wild.
It gave me that Vine TikTok feel still of that. But I feel like Twitter is for writers, like true writers a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Twitter might be a little more writery because, you know, it's so word heavy. And a lot of what you're doing is just kind of riffing on a riff, you know? So it's just kind of everyone, and maybe why I'm drawn to it is because it's everyone kind of flocking to the same joke and fixating on it and then adding their little 2 cents.
I get now why it's not for me. I don't need you on stage with me. Just, you know what I'm saying? That's what I because the comment section on some of the other platforms kind of can get like that. I'm like, no, I'm on stage. And then you'll start to see in the comment section like a whole fanfic thing happening there.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what happens all the time on Twitter.
Yeah, I
a
mean,
little bit.
Twitter's
like a conversation between all of us.
And it's also more discoursey. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people are way more, they'll get serious quick. They'll be like, however, you know, oh my God, my favorite thing about Twitter, Amber Wallen, is my favorite thing is when someone takes something that has nothing to do with them at all, and then they take it and they're like, oh, actually, this is about me specifically. And this is an attack. Like, one time there was this woman who was like, I love sitting out on my porch, you know, with my husband in the morning. And someone replied,
I remember that.
Oh my God. They were like, that's good for you, you know, but I'm allergic to sunlight or like something that's just, and it's like, okay.
Yes, my husband tragically died at war. Yeah.
It's like, go off, Sophia. Nothing to do with me. You know what I mean? Sounds like your business. But it's, I think that's funny because it's, yeah. people take the most nondescript stuff in the world and they make it so serious, and that's on its own funny, even if they're not trying to be. Like, that's fun to play around
with. I see
people
do that on TikTok, and so now I'm, but that happens all the time on Twitter.
But TikTok is fun because you can just delete people's comments on TikTok. And that's a treat, you know what I mean? What a blessing that is. On Twitter, they stick around. They're just there. Whatever someone quotes or replies with, that is there permanently.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So talk to me about
I will
Twitter virality. Like, tell me some of your, you know, give me your top three, because you're a big, like, Twitter. Would you say Twitter is like your favorite platform?
I'd say it was, but I'm having to pivot. I don't know what my favorite is now. Right. To be honest, probably email. Like, I just, like, Twitter used
Microsoft
to be so much
Excel.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess Instagram was a second, so maybe Instagram, but I don't know. I can't use Twitter the way I used to because, you know, there are no consequences for people being, like, super racist anymore. They're just there.
The streets are getting them fired.
The streets are, how do you say?
Yeah. Like, you know, they'll be like, you're Jacob, these tweets, I'd love for your law firm to hear about these. Like, I see people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like.
And I love
whose
that.
Tweets resurface after years. But, okay, so tell me about the times you've been, like, the most viral on Twitter. Mm. To this day, your funniest video to me is the pigeon at the parade.
The pigeon at parade.
I can't get that out of my mind, but I want them to play that at my funeral. They're like, but this isn't her. It's in the will. Play
you know
it.
What's so funny, Amber, is that sometimes I just don't know. I'm not tapped into, like, what will do well and what won't. Pigeon at Pride, I was like, okay, you know, if a dozen homosexuals are going to enjoy this. Do you know what I mean? Dozen homosexuals. And that'll be it. And I'll be fine with that. I'm comfortable with that. That I never expected to do well at all. And then it did, you know, it was kind of like a marriage of things I love, which are, you know, pigeons and gay. So yeah.
Pigeons more than gay.
Pigeons more than gay. I'd say that's one of my big ones. Pigeon at Pride. And then, what else? Oh, I did like a Galactic Federation thing. Where's my camera? I did like a Galactic Federation, thing where I pretend to be an alien.
Of course. Yes.
And that
yes.
was another big video.
I love the one about, I will link all of these in the episode notes, by the way. I love the one about the friend who, like, really wants this game to be played at the party. Because you know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ben. It's fucking Ben. He will bring, like, Fist of Dragonstones to the cookout.
Is he playing Wingspan?
He's not playing Wingspan. He's played everything from, like, Settlers of Catan, Ticket to Ride.
Well, Amber, I grew up in a board game family. Our Settlers of Catan set is, it's in like a giant wooden chest. All of the tiles are ceramic in 3D, so it's like real mountains.
Oh, it's serious.
It's real.
That's when they why you out, got the hell out of Denver.
Yeah, I got the hell out of Denver. It takes two people to lift like the chest and put it on the table because it is that. It looks like a treasure chest from a pirate ship or something. And it's amazing.
I will play. There's one game we play called like Taikanawa or something.
You don't even know.
Japanese followers, this is where I get dragged. But it's really good. It's this like Asian panda game where you like there's a farmer, it's a thing, but literally I do like I'm not sure if y'all played this, what's the one with the gems, it's like not
Splendor. Splendor. Splendor.
Love Splendor.
Yeah,
I kick ass at Splendor because you know what, I'm a planner.
Yep, you're a planner.
I can see five steps ahead.
And you know what?
I kick Ben's ass at Splendor.
Splendor's also a fun game because it's very straightforward to learn.
Very, very straightforward. Literally, the minute I get good at Splendor, Ben's like, let's play Broomsticks. Like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
We're a big, okay, but that one.
I think about it all the time. I should have used more realistic gunshots. Sometimes you both. The gag of this video is that someone's trying to get everyone at a party to play board games.
Yes,
everyone falls immediately silent and then they just start killing themselves because they don't want to play this game. But I guess I didn't use a realistic enough gunshot sound effect because like 20% of the comments were, I love how they slammed the door. And I'm like, you know damn well they weren't
slamming
the door.
That ain't no door slam.
You know that wasn't the door.
You didn't reach
slam.
The hood audience.
Come on.
You didn't reach the Chicago. You didn't reach your Chicago base with
and
that.
And I was like, I should have used like a gunshot sound with the, like the gun cocking. Anyway, it's one of my biggest regrets.
Yeah, it's so funny about the like what goes viral versus doesn't, because and then that's where like we as comedians and artists have to just like, let me just make something without trying to go viral, because I remember I had made a couple TikToks in the beginning days. Ben was never on any of them. And then one day he was like, let me be in a quick video. Like, I was like, no, like, this is, I'm a comedian. Nobody's going to, like famous last words, like, nobody's going to want to see you. And then obviously everything was like, wait, what is this white man doing in her house? Wait, that's her husband. Wait, how did they meet? And you're just like, you feel like you're watching seasons of a show.
Yeah.
And I remember that was like one of our first viral videos. And I remember that night. I was like, nobody's going to want to see this bit. Like, because I was like, I don't want to be another like interracial couple on the internet making cringy videos. Like, so I was like, let me just do my comedy. And then like, you can help me point and shoot. And he was like, this has nothing to do with being black and white. This is me crying over a video game. And he's like, let me be in it. I was like, fine. And then I look, I wake up, I was like, why is this at 2 million views?
Like, it's nuts, isn't it? Did you ever feel pressure to do cringe stuff? Because you knew that it would get views, negative or positive?
No. I will definitely say it is very easy to do second wave cringe.
Yeah.
Because first wave cringe is like three reasons why you should be with a black guy. Step one, whatever.
Yeah.
But we would do like, I would basically do a version of this is why you shouldn't be with a white person, exhibit A. Does that make sense?
It does.
So the video wouldn't be called like top three reasons not to date out your race.
It would be like,
it would just be like
that.
This thing happened in our household and we all know this is unique to white people, white peopling.
Okay.
So and I'll show that.
You guys wouldn't like do a costume where you're like coffee and he's milk or.
Yes.
Every time I see that, I crunch up into myself. It's insane to me.
Or I don't like to even do like nice couples content. Like people all the time are like, where are the videos of y'all just like kissing and walking? It's like,
kissing and walking.
Ew.
But yeah, that freaks me out because like you don't, the same thing because it's like, I don't want to, there's nothing to watch there. Do you know what I mean?
There's no story.
Some people love that. And I'm like, how sad you got to be to like want to see people hold hands and walk down the street. If you don't go the fuck outside.
Go outside. This is a show where people who are married are actually arguing.
Yeah.
Like, and here's some of the funny arguments. But they were like, why don't you just make a Hallmark movie of your page? It's like, but that's already been made.
And there's nothing wrong with Hallmark. In fact, I think, Amber, you do very well on the channel.
Who would I be in a Hallmark movie?
Would you be in a Hallmark movie? Oh, my God. You would be... What if I said something horrible? What if I was like, you would be someone
like,
in
you know,
the
that
back.
Homeless person who's like asking for a dollar and Jacob just has to give him a dollar. You'd be her.
Oh, you'd be the woman who's too busy. She's too busy. And
she's
I just
busy.
Can't find love. And then
I'm at work. And
yeah. And then some guy would spill his coffee on your laptop. And you'd be like, oh, what's you piece of shit? You'd be screaming at him before you even looked,
like,
right?
Like, this is cashmere.
This is cashmere. Yeah. My laptop is cashmere. And this is a cashmere laptop.
This is a cashmere laptop.
And you'd look up and
Spring collection.
Yeah, yeah. And he'd be the most beautiful man in the world.
Yeah. God, and, that's good.
Yeah.
Who would you be?
I would be...
You're checking somebody out for sure.
No, me, I'd
like,
be...
Like, scanning their items.
I'd be like the kooky older gentleman. I'd be like a kooky older gentleman who like stands outside of the church and everyone thinks he's crazy, but then you talk to me and
yes.
I'm like, I really think you should go for it. You know what I mean? It was
yes.
like, you don't get a chance like this every day. Like that's my
yes.
one lucid moment.
Yeah.
It's all crazy up
yes.
until then.
And I'd be like, yeah. there was that thing that Mark said at church that was, and they would flashback of you.
Yeah.
Like direct to camera.
You know, love doesn't come every day. And when it does, you gotta grab it.
Would you die before the end of the movie? You'd have to.
Oh my God, yes. And you guys come back together at my funeral.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's like it was his dying wish that we were together.
Yeah.
yeah. It would be
Sarah McLachlan song playing.
You're yeah. a writer.
I don't know what it is.
Have you ever go out like for drinks and shit and people were like, you should do some comedy? I went to an event last night and this guy was talking to in the event. He was like, you know, I think it would really do well if you like did some stand-up or some comedy. I was like, not for me. You know?
Really?
Yeah. When you go out with people, they're like, God, you're so funny. Like, have you ever thought of comedy?
Yeah. I you know what I get is online, people will be like, when will someone put you in a show? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you don't actually follow me. You know what I mean? It's just hard.
Yes. Oh, what did you just drop? Because the strike is over.
Oh, yeah.
What did you just drop? Looking incredible. Star Wars.
I was in Star Wars for 30 seconds. That fan base.
But it's Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Star Wars. It's something I've been watching since I was very young. By the way, I humiliated myself on that set.
I'm shutting up. Tell me what happened immediately.
One of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to me is I go to the Star Wars set. I'm a little intimidated. I haven't been anywhere like that before. It's like you're surrounded by 40-foot tall blue screens. There's a million extras who are like sweltering, you know, in the 90-degree heat wearing all these costumes. The director had heard that I improvise, you know.
That's what he heard.
That's what he heard. I was super excited. And so he asked me to improvise on a part that I wasn't really sure what I would do. You know, it was kind of a weird part to improvise, but I was like, sure, I'll think of something. And the line I improvised for Star Wars, and I wish Ben was here because he'd love it. The line I improvised was, "How on earth?" Mind you, takes place in a galaxy far, far away.
Of course.
On a different planet.
But that's why it's brilliant. Because it ain't even on Earth.
Oh, no. There's no Earth.
There's no Earth.
So everything stopped, and he was like, maybe don't say Earth. He was like, you know, galaxy far, far away. And I was like, purr, boots. Yeah, yeah. There's no Earth.
Purr, boots, like cries inside.
And I was like kicking myself because I'm like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe I just said how on Earth in front of like everyone in Star Wars. But it was a lot of fun. Clancy Brown was in that scene with me. He is the voice of Mr. Krabs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big baller shot caller with that one. I do bet that if you were a voice actor or something like SpongeBob, which is just still syndicated plays all the time, like, you're good. You're good for life.
Yeah.
Kind of.
That's done. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit about some other things that are not the internet because we hate the internet.
Fine.
I convinced him. The next segment of our show is called Imperfect Parent, where we typically talk about our little one. But today we're talking about another little one. Vinny, tell us about your baby.
I have a snake. Her name is Mrs. Gutierrez. She's a Rosie boa. Cannot believe I'm talking about this. I thought Amber, when I came in, Amber said, for this section, we normally talk about kids if they have kids, but if they don't, we'll talk about, and I jumped in reflexively, and I was
my pet snake.
I was like, pets, I have a snake, thinking that you would say pets.
I was like, your childhood, but the snake is way better.
I got a snake because they're great to take care of if you don't, like, love to cuddle with things. Do you know what I mean? She's not a cuddler. She's cold-blooded, not a cuddler.
Did you try it once and you're like, this didn't work for us?
You know, she just kind of sits there.
Yeah.
There's no enthusiasm. There's no passion. She doesn't want it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, why bother? I feed her a mouse once every 10 to 14 days.
Vinny.
What?
It's like a dead mouse or a live one?
Oh, it's dead. I have a freezer full of dead mice. I got dead mice in my freezer.
Sexy. So when you bring people over.
Oh, I don't let them in my freezer.
Is it in the food freezer? It's a separate freezer, I'm sure.
Girl, what do you mean it's a separate freezer? You think I got two freezer money? I don't have two freezer money.
I just have to trust that you have a mini freezer with dead mice in it. It's like, it can be a lunch sack with ice over it.
Amber, they are in the regular freezer. Don't you eat meat. What's the difference between a mouse and a chicken, really? If you fry a mouse up right, there's no difference between a mouse and a chicken or a pork chop. And I will stand on that. 10 toes down.
If you fry a mouse up right. this episode needs to be called like chicken fried mouse or some shit. Because I'm fucking dead. How many mice are in there, Vinny?
Right now?
Currently.
Currently like 50. Because.
Vinny!
I buy them in bulk. I'm not going to save money.
You buy dead mice in bulk?
Yes, because it's so
expensive.
I'm
not judging you.
I am. It's so expensive to buy them one at a time. You go to Petco, PetSmart, buy mice one at a time. It's way more expensive. You buy mice in bulk from the mouse man. And I have a mouse man.
Hey, we all got a mouse man.
We all got a mouse man. You go to the mouse man, you get a bunch of mice, you freeze them.
Vinny, that's ain't right.
You defrost them.
Mrs. Gutierrez. How many mice does Mrs. Gutierrez eat? You said one a week?
She eats one adult mouse every 7 to 10, every every 10 to 14 days. And then during the winter, Mrs. Gutierrez doesn't eat at all. So like for 6 months of the year, I don't have to do anything besides give her water.
So there's food in your fridge as well.
How- yes.
Have you ever accidentally ate a mouse because you were just like, I'm drunk, let me just warm something up?
You think I would come home drunk and I would pop you, a frozen mouse in the microwave?
I didn't think you had mice in your fridge, but here we are.
I would never, and but maybe it's only because I'm a vegetarian, that I would never consume a frozen mouse from the fridge.
And Mrs. Gutierrez would be like, I know the fuck he ain't eating my mice.
And mind you, they're not prepped. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not, the hair is still on them and everything. I say this, if they were cutlets, because if they were cutlets or like tiny little drumsticks, then I might reconsider. But they are like the full-on mouse because she needs the fur. That's
her
fiber.
Can they eat anything else but freezer burned mice or frozen mice?
No, I think her species is very rodent focused. You know, other snakes, you could feed them like sometimes like a loose chicken leg or frogs or something, but and mice are easy to get.
Wow.
This is a commitment.
No.
When did you buy her?
I've had her for like 5 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
So when did you discover, like, I have to go buy mice every week? Like, or like, you know, I have to buy mice in bulk. That's my life.
I don't know. For the first couple months I had her, I just realized how much of an expense it was. And it's like, it's much easier to buy them in bulk. I did.
How many mice come
out
in a bulk?
She got flued out.
Mrs. Gutierrez got flued out?
Mrs. Gutierrez got flued out because I ordered her online from a breeder.
I am
fascinated. And I had her
shipped,
delivered to Chicago via plane.
This is a classy bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Please welcome to the stage,
Mrs. Gutierrez.
Mrs. Gutierrez. Oh my God.
Honestly, if you're the kind of person who doesn't like love to take care of things, I think they're super easy to take care of. You like I can go on trips, you know, and I know she'll be fine. Just
oh,
on her
that's
own.
Okay. That is nice.
Yeah.
How expensive are mice in bulk? I will be honest. I've never bought a frozen mouse at a store.
Honestly, I spent like, and this is just because I know a guy who who breeds mice.
Where does
to
he
feed
get them?
He breeds them.
He breeds mice.
He's got a reptile.
I wonder what
collection.
His home looks like.
Well, he's got racks, and let me explain to you what a rack is. Because
racks.
He's got racks. Some people who have a lot of snakes, they keep them in a rack system, which is like a series of drawers.
I've seen those. Yeah. Like at the pet store. At the pet store, not in somebody's home.
Yeah. This is a home.
This is this man's home.
And so he's got mice that he you know. Creates out.
Because he probably feeds them live to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. It's always better to feed them dead because the mouse does want to live and it will fight for it.
So oh, the mouse
you don't
does
hurt
want
your
to
snake.
Live.
Yeah.
Of
the,
course.
The mouse will bite back.
Got it.
And let that be
how
a lesson
does he
to all
freeze?
Of you.
The mouse will fight back.
I don't know how he kills the man, but I've never
You've never asked?
No, honestly, I think it's kind of a don't ask, don't tell situation. Like I've never asked. It's none of my business.
Because I want to know how many mice is he killing per day?
Oh, probably not a lot. I think it's like a weekly thing.
Because he's a mouse man, though.
The mouse man, yeah.
And where'd you find him?
It's a tight community.
Is the snake community or the mouse? The reptile?
The reptile community
The
tight.
Reptile community
yeah,
is
you go
tight.
To some of these conventions. It's all white people covered in tattoos with gauges.
And then you.
And then me.
Wow.
Tattoo-less and gauge-free.
I love learning that this is how you live your life, Vinny.
I've always kept reptiles. I'll say this.
I love that.
This is my first snake, but I've always kept reptiles.
What other reptiles did you have growing up?
When I was younger, I had leopard geckos. I feel like a lot of people had leopard geckos.
No.
No? You didn't have geckos?
No, Vinny.
Amber, you're missing out on what
I had a hermit crab here and there. They lasted the end of the week.
That's a bug that's worse. That's a bug that's worse.
And we probably had a guinea pig maybe, but we were like a big, we kept a dog
yeah,
here
guinea
there.
Guinea pig is your food's food. No, I'm sorry. I said that wrong. Guinea pig is your, and we're just going to pivot.
We're going to pivot.
Guinea pig is your pet snake's food. I don't know. People love guinea pigs. I shouldn't have said that.
So I love you saying, I feel like everyone had a leopard gecko.
Didn't a lot of people have leopard geckos?
I do not know a single person that had a leopard gecko.
We're different.
Well, I'm from Georgia.
Yeah.
You're from Denver.
Yeah.
So out there, it's a big leopard energy. a leopard gecko fam.
I don't know if
squad.
It's just out there. I think a leopard gecko is an easy pet to take care of. And in the same way you might get a hermit crab, which die very easily.
Very easily. Oh, very complete delicate. Waste. Like, all of the things that you buy to take care of them is, like, just a scam at that point.
Their legs will pop off like nothing.
Just, they, like, take a sigh, and one leg is... I remember I was going out of town for something, so I left my pet hermit crabs with my friend Katie.
Uh-huh.
We were only out of town for the weekend.
Classic.
Came back. Katie was like... And I was like, excuse me, bitch.
Can I ask, was she wearing a bib? She's sucking the meat out of a leg, telling you the overgrab didn't make it.
And she was just like, we had to have been in elementary school.
Yeah.
And I was like, you were my friend. And you let my hermit crab die.
We used to go on dishonor. Road trips to Texas all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And one time when we went there, there were some hermit crabs for sale in a mall, right?
Of course.
So my mom let me get one. I put it in a little critter keeper. We drive back to Colorado. It's so much drier in Denver that it's impossible to keep the humidity up in the critter keeper.
Yes.
And so that poor hermit crab kept drying out, and that's why his little legs kept like right off, because you just could not keep the humidity up. It's so tricky.
Since I judged your snake.
Yeah.
Can I tell you one time? So we didn't always have pets growing up. So we would have one, and then like a couple years go by, and then maybe have another one a couple years go by, and then eventually like nothing. And so probably for the best. It's three kids, two parents. And one time I remember, I want to say I was in like...
Only two parents.
I know. Losers. I was in third grade. And I wanted a pet so bad. Yeah. I was asking my parents, like, we got to get another pet here. Rabbit, give a bitch something.
Desperate.
And my dad was like, no. You know, like, that's my impersonation of my dad. Just, like, angry and, like, you know.
Gruff.
We'll unpack. And so we went to Red Lobster. Okay. Follow me, camera.
Oh, my God.
We went to the Red Lobster, and my dad ordered a lobster. And he ate it. And I was so... desperate to have a pet that I just took home the shell, like the exoskeleton of that, what he ate. And I just pretended there was a lobster inside of it.
I was like, thought this was going a different direction.
No.
Here's what I thought. I thought he was going to be like, this is something like that. I thought he was going to be like, you want a pet? And then he was going to say, pick one.
Pick
one.
He was
going to the lobster and then.
Yes. No.
Okay.
No, not that. I feel like this is worse. I feel like I just took the carcass of a lobster home.
Oh, yeah. It's
and pretended that it had a soul.
It's a terrible look. Did you dress it up like a baby and shit?
I put little stickers on it and shit. And then a week later, my mom was like, something smells foul in here. Like, something smells like pussy times 1,000 in your room. Like, are you not bathing? Like, what is going on in here?
You put stickers on a dead lobster.
There was nothing. It was soulless. There was no meat in there. Stickers, everything. And my mom looks under the bed and finds that lobster tail. She was like, I need an explanation. Immediately.
Yeah. Come on,
like,
Little Mermaid.
That's my friend. Yes. Yes. God, that's pretty pathetic, huh? Like, if your hermit crab died, you just kept the shell of it and then talked to it every day.
Well, you know what, Amber? I was such a nature kid. I was such, like, I loved having specimens.
Mm.
So, like, honestly, keeping the dead corpse of something is something that I might have done. Day, in my childhood bedroom, I have, like, jars with, like, little... dehydrated.
Humans keep stuff like that. Are your parents like this?
Humans keep stuff like that.
My parents still have like our baby teeth at the house. Like teeth that we lost as kids. There's a bag for each of us.
Oh, that's you gotta get rid of those.
I was like,
anyone could grab one of those, use it for a spell.
That's like root work, right?
Teeth in the house because someone's gonna use
it. I'm
like, Dad,
throw these fucking teeth away. He was like, well, if something happens to you, we need the bone marrow. I'm like, what? He's like, no, we gotta, because you know, they love, like, people in smaller towns love to think they can solve a crime, like, if something went wrong. And I'm like, it'll probably be pretty clear. Ben did it. Like, you don't need these baby teeth. Ben did it. Me and him got into it, and that was the end of me.
I think you're
dead
really
too now.
Underestimating Wild's abilities here.
Yes, yes. Wild did it.
Yeah.
Wild, what was all these baby teeth? I love that.
Man.
Wait.
Baby teeth.
You ready to pivot?
Yeah, sure.
Can I have one of your teeth? We'll talk offline.
No, please. Yeah. I have horrible teeth. They're probably going to fall out.
Wait, what? Okay.
We don't have to.
You have great teeth.
I think they're very pretty. They're gorge. They are
gorge,
but I have like, I'm just like my dad, like genetically like soft enamel. So I always have problems.
Are you like a, like when the wind blows, your teeth hurt, like it's cold, like
kind
cold
of.
Foods?
And they would if so many of them weren't like fake now.
Are they mostly fake?
I have a lot. Yeah, a lot of my molars are like crowns.
Yeah. Teeth are hard.
They're really
hard. Teeth are hard. So wonder, teeth are so, like, they're doing their best.
Yeah.
They get up every day.
They're also
put
stupid.
On their pants one leg at a time. Right. They're very stupid.
I have bones in my mouth for. Cover that shit up. Do you know what I mean? What if I have, like, 15 loose fucking bones? 15 is way too low. What if I have 32
loose
bones?
Like, who has three loose bones in there?
It's so annoying. And then wisdom teeth. Like, you weren't invited. Why the hell did you show up?
Why did you show up? This is a whole sketch.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, hey, wisdom. Like, who sent this fucking email to wisdom?
Who invited wisdom? Why are
so
they
you're coming in
everyone?
Late and you're literally moving everyone in the party who was actually invited to the shit over.
Just a horrible How dare you? Individual of wisdom teeth.
And then, you know, even the front teeth are kind of useless. Like, they don't pull their weight.
They don't pull their weight.
They pull their weight when you're meeting people and connecting.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the back teeth that are, like, the worker bees.
They're grinding, yeah.
They're literally grinding out here. If you make that sketch, bitch, you owe us a writing credit. Period.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah, hooker, whore.
Yeah. Whoa.
We took it there. Anyway, the next segment of our show is called the I Do's and Don'ts of Relationships. Vinny is going to help us answer your letters at home. And this is a reminder, if you have letters about like family relationships, romantic relationships, work relationships, please DM us at Fly on the Wildin' Podcast, or you can send them right on to Burr I Am. You ready for our first two letters?
Yes.
There are only two letters. I should have prefaced with that. Okay, we got a work one first, okay?
Yeah.
These bitches in the workplace. It reads, Dear Fly on the Wallin, here's my question. I'm 25, very technologically savvy, knowledgeable in the legal field, and I'm constantly trying to improve productivity and efficiency within my department. I've implemented some new processes that involve using a computer from the departments rather than printing, scanning, back to back. It's just so much easier to work collaboratively. The issue? The other women in my department are 55 plus, and they've worked here longer than me. They are unwilling to transition to the new procedures, even though those will save tons of time, and they are not shy about expressing how much they dislike these changes I am making. Any suggested change that I propose, they object. This is really discouraging. Any advice?
Yes, absolutely.
Help me deal with these old bitches in the workplace.
I find always the best technique is to isolate first and foremost.
First and foremost.
So we'll just build an acronym, I guess. I, isolate. Pick one out. And endear yourself to her, you know, give her gifts, you know, invite her places, really sit her down and every now and then talk about the new system, but don't be like super obvious about it. You know what I mean? What she's going to do is she's going to go back to her group. And now when they talk mess about you, which Lord knows they are, she's going to prickle up a little bit. She might not say anything at first, but she will prickle up. Okay. But
she'll defend you.
She'll defend you.
She'll defend you.
So you start with that one, right? And the dominoes will begin to fall at that point. Then you go after the second one, right? Endear yourself to her. I don't know how many there are, but really you just need kind of the majority. Then you pick one, because I know at least one is objectively, ostensibly awful.
Awful.
Okay?
That's the big dog. You got to get to her later.
You got to get to
her
later.
You got a couple of troops on your side.
Well, see, we're different, because once you have a couple of troops and you know which one is the bad one, that is the one that you do not include. You need to make sure.
Oh, you don't even get her on your side.
No, because there's nothing that builds camaraderie more than gossip about an individual everyone communally doesn't like. And right now, that's
a common enemy.
Right now, that's the person who wrote that letter, right?
Yeah, everybody,
right now,
it's her. You're currently public enemy number one.
But it doesn't need to be you.
Doesn't need to be you.
You need to start thinking like through a timeline instead of like, you're thinking just right now in this moment. Think down the line about how to build the kind of relationships that you want. Because right now you're trying to build a system and you're thinking of the system. You need to think about like the working environment.
The working environment. And also like, maybe you are the problem, because these old bitches don't want to work any harder than they've had to
work. That's true.
Is their pay increasing? Absolutely not. So I'm kind of with Brenda in them.
And
because
I don't
they're like, why would things improve? Why would things, like, conditions aren't improving, pay isn't improving. Why would I want to work more efficiently?
And you know what? They've been there for so long too, Amber. You know, there's probably wisdom in that, you know?
Yeah.
There's wisdom in that they've been there. So maybe you just need to quit. Maybe you're not cut out for this.
You either need to quit or you got to get, like, I will scam my way through anything just by remembering somebody's son's name.
Oh, yeah. See? That stuff.
It's like, didn't Trent get married last weekend? Was that? Let me see pictures.
How is your lesbian daughter?
Yes.
How is your lesbian daughter?
Ask about their pets.
Yeah.
Ask about their rabbit. Ask about the Mrs. Gutierrez.
Ask about their cat. One of them's got a cat that's sick. Oh. I'll tell you right now, one of them has a cat that is sick. Very sick. And the fact that they're keeping it alive even is borderline unethical. But they got a sick cat and you bring that up.
They do have a sick cat. Somebody always has a sick
cat. Someone always has a kid sick cat.
I used to hate talking to people at work. Like, because when I was a high school teacher, it's just constant talk.
High school teacher?
I know. Check out those test scores, right? Now, was I voted teacher of the year, like, almost every quarter? Period. I was a kid favorite. Were they being taught? Therein lies the problem. Were they being entertained? Absolutely. Mm. But in that teacher's lounge, it was just a boner killer. Like, somebody was always in there telling some riveting story about the salad that they ate last night. And you're like, and they're like, and then they brought it with pecans. Like, who does that? I'm like,
That's the most exciting part of their day.
The most exciting part of their day.
But you gotta.
It's like, I ordered a Caesar and it was a niçoise. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And I'm
like, et tu, Brute?
Yes. And I'm like, I'm about to, like, slam my face into the copy machine. So they're like, there's always, like, two type of people at the workplace. They're either like, we're fucking.
Yeah.
Or, like, you're just insufferable. So maybe you need to fuck one of my old bitches. I don't know.
Oh. Couldn't be me.
You never fight anybody at your job?
No.
Oh.
That's one of my rules.
This is my leopard gecko. Everybody had a leopard gecko. Everybody be fucking at work. That's one of your rules?
Only recently have I broken that rule where I've, like, gone out with someone who's even in the same industry.
Yeah. You're so classy.
You know, and I tried to be, but ultimately I broke that rule. And
yeah, you broke it.
It didn't end well, which we will talk about after the podcast.
We will talk about after podcast. Good. What real advice did we give this person? Either have sex with these bitches.
Yeah, either sleep with them, either isolate and eliminate.
Yes.
Or trust that they know what's better.
Yeah.
And you know, why are you
be more efficient?
Yeah. Are they paying you more to implement this system, or are you just doing it on your own time?
Probably not. Okay.
Follow those ancient women.
And it's the sick cat for me.
There is knowledge in time.
One of them has a sick cat that you know is dying.
You know it is not well. And she's keeping that thing alive with duct tape and a prayer. It's got a type of diabetes nobody's even heard of yet. And she's keeping that thing alive.
It's like on a breathing machine. It's also like on wheels. You know how you see an animal on wheels? I'm just like, what's happening?
You got it in like a chamber filled with liquid. You know what I mean? Just like floating in there. Like
you pulled that cat out of the fucking ocean and took it home. God. Dear Fly on the Wallin, my husband expects me to take on the traditional wifely duties, but also pay 50% of everything. So we've been together for 6 years. This is kind of long, but it just gets worse and worse. Let's get all the way.
It's fascinating.
We've been together for 6 years. He came into the marriage with two children by two different women.
Okay.
I came into the marriage with one. Each of our kids goes to a different school. Regularly, we have 2 to 3 kids in our home. My husband believes it is my job to get the kids dressed and ready for school, pack lunches, drop the kids off at their different schools, work an 8-hour shift, pick them all up for their after school programs, help them with their homework, cook dinner, and make sure they're showered and ready for bed. It's my responsibility to clean and do laundry. He believes all he should do is work and take out the trash and cut the grass. He believes we should also split all of our bills 50-50. He makes more money than me, and yes, he's been married before, but we also have separate bank accounts, one joint bank account, which we created because he was upset every time I spent money from our our shared bank account. Oh, so we created a new, it stressed him out. Lastly, even though I only spent what was within what we discussed the budget, I do most of the grocery shopping. And so not only am I paying 50%, but I'm also paying for the majority of our household items and the items that the kids need. Question, should I stay or should I leave?
This is ludicrous. First of all, it's
Luna.
It's this is ludicrous. It's 2023.
Woo!
There is no world in which your husband, and it's a shame that it's like this. I think it's still like this, that women kind of inherently take on more of the kind of housekeeping roles or whatever. But like the fact that he's expecting you to, and then on top of that, look, if he wants like this hyper traditionalist life, that's fine. But then you shouldn't be going to work.
You can't work 8 hours
because then, like, that's masculine, you know, according to that traditionalist framework.
Right.
So he wants the money without any of the effort.
Literally.
You know what I mean? He just wants the money, Amber.
He just wants the money.
And that's it. And at this point, it's like, I think it's worth the conversation, but it sounds like she's had the conversation before.
It does. Know? And okay, so here's the thing about it. You also mentioned that he's has children with two other women. So I might actually assume that these are ex-wives.
Yeah.
You're about to be ex-wife number three. Because I take notes from these two other women that
There's
were like, I
it.
Can't put up with this shit.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with the whole like somebody goes out and works and somebody stays and
no,
takes
I
care of everything.
That's totally fine.
That's totally fine. But yes, like Vinny said, you got to get the fuck out of this. And also, it's like, talk me through this. Let me know what your household dynamic was like growing up.
Uh-huh.
Why do men always do the tasks that don't need to be done daily? The grass does not need to be cut every fucking day. That's an every 2 weeks situation.
Yeah.
Even the trash does not need to be taken out every day. So I don't even think it's like, well, I'm a man. It's stinky, so I should take it out. I think men sat down one day and were like, which tasks don't need to be done daily?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I clean the shower.
Yeah.
It's like, that doesn't need to be done daily.
Exactly.
But you can't be an Uber for all of the kids, his included.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but I cut that grass, though.
Exactly.
It's like, what?
It's not enough. Do you know what I mean? Look, both of my parents worked, and my mom took on, I would say, more of like the house roles. But my dad also did, you know, way more of the handy stuff,
yeah.
You know, where it was like, oh, he's cleaning gutters. He was building like bookshelves, repairing furniture.
Bookshelves? Come on, big daddy.
He's big into carpentry. He built
okay.
like a giant like bookshelf. So, you know, and you know, when my mom wasn't there, obviously he'd take on more of the, you know, the
right
dishwashing, whatever. But like they would also always do that. I say my mom did most of that, but it was like he would never turn his nose up at it. You
of
know?
Course.
And it was, when I say most, it wasn't like almost all. It was just like more often you see
a little bit more,
that.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like, you know, it's a partnership, which it should be, but it doesn't sound like she agreed to these rules.
You didn't agree to the rules, and I would definitely like get the fuck out. Like,
because
one day you look up and you're like, wait a minute, I'm like I'm the maid, the chauffeur, and I'm also earning money. I also need time. Like, when do you do stuff for yourself if you're doing all of these things for the kids? And you know what's interesting? Ben and I were talking in the bed the other night about, like you know how people are like, he's such a good dad, whatever. Well, not with Ben, but just with men in general. They'll name like, you know, Vinny's a great father.
Yeah.
He took his kids out to the park. Safety, he fed them.
Yeah.
And there's this like wave now where it's like, all you need to do is switch out. If you switched out the name of the man for the name of the woman in like, you know, man, woman dynamics, like would this sentence sound as impressive?
Mm.
Like Amber's such a good mom. She took her child to the park. She fed her.
Like she said hello to her. She played
with
her a
little
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
like
no,
it just doesn't hit the same.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what that is. You have to get out of this marriage. I'm actually starting to think you're being con. Like, and why is he upset that you're spending money?
Yeah.
I hate that.
That's crazy, especially if the accounts are separate. That also to me is like, it's giving secrets. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also just the fact that you sent this letter in the first place.
You know.
There's something tragically wrong already. Catastrophically, perhaps.
Yeah.
Ooh, and I had to burp, but let that not lessen the severity of what I was going to say.
I think you just puked in your mouth because you're disgusted.
Up, and I'm gagging.
But you're literally gagging
the
because
bad
this
way.
Is so... This is so disappointing
this
and sad.
This is so disappointing and sad. And yeah, no, I would, I would either push him to change, and if he won't, then, you know,
yeah,
it's not serving you or your
You can
children.
Live without an uncut lawn.
Yeah. And, you know, you only have one life to live.
Yes.
What do you want to, you want to live it chained to these duties that he's, like, forcing you to do because he's lazy, which is what it is he's lazy, you know? He could get off his ass and, you know, pick someone up from school. It's not going to kill him, you know?
Not going to kill him.
But anyway, Godspeed. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God, get out of there. Just leave. Get out right now. Oh.
Yes.
What? Last quick thing.
Uh-huh.
This last segment of our show is called Shelfie. What are you reading, my love?
Thank you. I'm reading An Immense World by Ed Yong, which is this great book about the extrasensory abilities that animals have. So it's about all of these hidden worlds that we don't know about because we can't even perceive them. But for a lot of different animals, it's just how they experience the world, right? So for like, maybe it's that they can sense electrical fields around them, like electric eels or some sharks. And that's just an extra sense they have. Or maybe it's birds. Birds can see in a spectrum of light, in the ultraviolet spectrum, that we are not capable of seeing and will never be capable of seeing.
So how did they discover that?
Isn't that crazy? They discovered it because birds... I imagine it's a series of experiments where they, like, you know, cover up certain parts of a feather, or there are, like, subtle differences in materials that they use with, like, different birds in a test. And they know that if you can see in the ultraviolet spectrum, they'll appear as different colors. But to us who can't, they appear as the same color.
Mm.
But with birds, even the most drab bird you see might appear totally different to another bird because of how they see color and because they can see so many different colors that we can't. So, you know, just stuff like that, where it's like, even dogs, right? Dogs explore the world nose first,
yes,
scent first. For us, eyes are our primary kind of way of exploring the world. For them, it's always nose and scent first. So their whole view and perception of the world is completely transformed by the primary sense there. So, yeah, it's just really fascinating. It kind of opens your mind about, how big the world is and, you know, how secret these kind of other ways to experience it are. And it's one of my favorite books so far.
Is it something where you're like, and now I'm discovering the human sense that is more superior than animals? Or is like, we're just stupid. We have no gifts and they're way more fascinating than we are.
Look, I'm not going to pretend like I don't think people are better than eels. I do. And, and I'll say it. I think a person is better than an eel. I'll be brave. And if eels are listening, like,
can I say it again.
Can
I say something controversial?
Yeah.
People are better than eels.
My hot take, people are better than eels. I mean, I like us. I think we've got a lot going for us. I think we've got great sight and we're great at running. A lot of people don't know this.
The human race is good at running?
Oh, the human, it's called the race for a reason. we're some of the best long distance runners on the planet when it comes to mammals. So, like, you know, we're right up there with, like, your horses or your...
We're right up there with the horses.
Look, we're not horses, but we're close. Like, we're up there with kind of your dogs, you know? We could outrun a lot of animals that you might not think we could outrun over a
like
long
those
distance.
Of us who are doing the work.
Those of us who are actively running.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Certainly not I,
but yeah, right. Someone.
Somebody surely. Over there is doing the work.
We're really built to, like, with big lungs and a big heart and long legs to run. That's, yeah.
I feel like I'm letting the whole universe down then. I have a race coming up. So I'm going to get it together.
You prepping for that.
It's going to be a Spartan race.
You were drinking a little spirulina or something. What were you drinking?
I am doing green powdered greens, which actually is probably why I'm not sick. I was like, wait a minute. Greens in powdered form?
Amber, my mom used to
be
super into powdered greens. She had like,
my girl. What's your mom's name? God.
My mom's name? I can't say it on this podcast.
Just make up a name.
Okay.
How would I have actually known?
My mom's name?
Eileen. She kills them green. I can't say it on a podcast.
I'm so cautious about, I just think people are so weird online. I don't share any details about my family because I'm like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I probably should be saying this. Proceed to say it. So there is this like one company that is getting on my nerves because they owe me a check. And the check is like 3 months overdue or whatever. I So I was like, let me just see if this girl's on Facebook. In my midnight spiral. And I was like, here's her family, friends. Okay, just all right. Just cool to know. I didn't. If I had a glass next to me, I would be like, just so you know, Bridget, your daughter ain't paying her debt. Yeah. Like,
tell your cousin to send me my money.
Because you know how people do. They're like, is this your son out here calling women these days? Yeah.
Oh, no. But
you know, like in somebody's email, it'd be like first name, last name, and then like company name.
Yeah.
And so I was like, let me just
do a quick search. Let me do a people search. Let me put on my detective glasses.
On Instagram. Oh, there she is with her family. There's her wedding. Wow.
Anyway, she used to
wonder
bring
if
that.
There's another event coming up that I could just pop up, you know.
Jesus, man.
I know.
Another event?
It's not 2006 anymore.
Wild.
I can't. I immediately, Ben walked in the room. He was like, what are you doing? I was like, you know that bitch sold me some money. She on Facebook.
She's just hanging out. She's having the time of her life. She's in Cabo right now. She's on a ranch.
I feel like I should just, you know, send a quick email. Not good.
No.
Not good. Okay, I'm going to show you this book that I'm reading real quick.
Yeah, please. Oh, you have a physical copy.
I have a physical copy, even though I mostly listen to an audiobook. I just like when it's like a dialect and a dialogue. Okay, so this is a great story. It's called Night Crawling. It is fiction. It's historical fiction. Mm-hmm. It's basically about like the, of course, the police force and how they, okay, so the police are horrible to people. We get that, right? Mm-hmm. They don't protect and serve all the time. So obviously most cases that we know about are like killing people who are unarmed, not people, black people, like, sorry, that went without saying. It's like, this is a story about the Bay Area, black and brown people. So, but the second biggest thing that the police do is sort of abuse sex workers. Like, they'll just be like, hey, you need to either have sex with all of us and everybody on the force, or like, and your payment will be when stings happen, we won't arrest you, you know? So it just is this book is told from the perspective of like this 17-year-old girl who is now like having to do sex work to pay the bills, her very broken home. And then she gets caught up with like the police force and their abuses. So like there was a real story of that happened in the Bay Area. I want to say like 1942 or something. Don't quote me. And she was like, oh, this real thing that happened. She started writing this book when she was 17 years old.
Wow.
So she published it when she was like 20 or 21, and it's already like Oprah's Book Club won many awards. So she was just like, how scary it might have been to been like, I'm 17 and I'm reading a story about like a 17-year-old girl that was like forced into sex work just, you know, based for survival, and now is being like abused by all these cops or whatever. It's really good. I know that took a turn. But Night Crawling, if you need a good read by Lila Motley, I finally finished it. Chills. Okay, before we get out of here, and go kiki a little bit, because I owe you a drink. I haven't seen you since Chicago. Your motherfucking ass didn't tell nobody you moved out here.
I'm sorry.
And I forget that everybody doesn't share every part of their life online. That's good. That's healthy.
I think I'm paranoid about it. I don't think I need to be paranoid about it, but I have always been very paranoid about it. Just because
I should have more fear. I'm at a point where everybody knows me, my mama, my child, what date she was born, her weight, her curls are tracking. I'm in too deep. It's crazy.
But, you know, I'm sure, as with everyone, there are things that you keep completely reserved. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think for me, I think just as a rule, personality-wise, I just don't, I have a pretty tight circle, and there are just certain things that I like to keep, you know, close to the vest. And sometimes I don't realize what those are until, like, I'm confronted with the reality of potentially sharing them. But, like,
Yeah, I'm an oversharer.
And you're thriving because of it.
Am I? Or am I searching bitches at midnight?
Oh, we're all searching bitches at midnight. We're all searching bitches at midnight.
You're fine. So before we get out of here, everybody, somebody just popped in. I'm keeping this. I'm not cutting shit. Before we get out of here, I want to remind all of you that Fly on the Wild and Podcast will be live in Atlanta on December 20th. You're coming to the show, right, Vinny?
To Atlanta?
Yeah.
No. No, I will. I'll get some.
See?
A honey, lemon pepper, salmon strips, whatever.
Strips.
Atlanta food is crazy.
Oh yes, we've heard, but y'all are coming to Atlanta for comedy. Not sure about the food, but I will see y'all at City Winery on December 20th. The link to buy your tickets to the show is, you know, it's all in the episode notes. It's all in the description. Check that out on YouTube. Check that out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to this show. And Vinny, tell the people where they can find you. And maybe plug something. You got something coming up. Let a bitch know.
All right. You can follow me on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter at VINN underscore AYY. That's VINN underscore AYY. You can watch me in the Apple TV Plus series Platonic. Sure, I'll have stuff coming up, but you'll know about it on social media.
Period. We'll see y'all next week. Bye, y'all.
It's purr. Bye.
You know they're from TikTok because those laughs keep you coming because they're wilding all the time. Before Wild throws a tantrum, listen to our silly anthem because they're wilding all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does her dance to please her plants. And Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wildin' all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.